God, thank you for today. God, thank you for what you want to do in this place. God, I just pray as you your word comes alive in us, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you would give us eyes to see. God, despite what's happening around us, I pray that we'd not be distracted with what's happening, but God, we'd be focused on you. Would you help us with that today? Give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a couple passages that we typically start off the new year with, or I do personally. I wanted to read to you. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. And Psalms 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. I think evaluation is good as we start the new year. I think it's always good to evaluate where are we, what's happening in our lives, why are things happening in our lives, where am I to blame, where is life to blame, where is things, the people around me to blame. I think as we evaluate or as we are examining, there has to be an action plan to move past the examination. So you might say January 1 or maybe 2nd, 3rd, whatever, up to this point, you might go, you know what, I've been looking at my life and there's some changes that I need to make. There's some things that need to happen in my life that I got to make these changes. To me, I just then ask, like, what's the process? What's the process by which you then write out a plan? Or is this a moment where you gather people around you? Because examination is great, but if I do nothing with examination, then really what was the point? Evaluation and asking God to search me and then God revealing truth in the search. And then I go, well, I'm glad that I know that that's there, but I'm going to do nothing with that. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? We understand that. And so when I evaluate or when I examine, what am I doing with this? How am I being obedient? What is the point? And if these things are true, we need to constantly evaluate our lives. But how is the struggles from 2018 or my story from 2018, how am I getting that into 2019? How am I taking away from those things that have happened to me or the things that I've gone through? And some of you, you have a story that needs to be shared right now. Your story from 2018 or maybe 17 or 16 is that you went through something that's very difficult and you've gone through it. Right? You've moved past it. You've gone through it. You've strengthened. You've been strengthened that you have to share. You cannot be quiet about it. You got to share it because there's other people in your life that are going through those same things that they need to hear your story. And some of you, you're in the middle of it and you're like, I'm still trying to figure this thing out. I'm trying to figure out what this evaluation was, what all of this stuff means. And it's still your story. And it's good. I think we come to these places of questions and we hoard these things for ourselves. And when really Jesus's point is that we live this thing out, that I move from just this inner searching to how am I living? How am I doing? How am I treating others? How am I getting other people? When Paul writes the Philippian church and says, treat other people as well as you're treating yourself. How am I doing with that? And then we say things like, man, I'm going through all of these things. I'm not even thinking about other people because I'm caught up in this craziness that is my life. And the bottom line is this. The best shot that I have in following Jesus, the best shot that I have in being the husband and the father and the friend and the coach and whatever I am in my life, the best shot that I have is when I surround myself with other people. It's the best, it's the only way I can do it because I need other people speaking into my life. And if I'm doing it on my own and I'm isolated, that's what the enemy wants. Attacked his purpose. It didn't say Genesis. It doesn't say that the enemy came at Adam and attacked his purpose. It didn't say that he came at Adam and he attacked his identity. It says he came at Adam and he attacked his marriage. Why? Because he knows that if he can attack the one thing that Adam loved, the one thing that encouraged him, the one thing that strengthened him, he knew that if he could isolate Adam, then he's got him. You want to see the worst version of yourself? Isolate yourself. Isolate yourself from good people. Isolate yourself from people that are going to keep you accountable. And this is what we have to see. When I'm strong or when I'm in a newness season of my life, whether that's January 1 or whatever it is, when I'm in this season of strength, I have to have an action plan. I got to make a plan in my moments of strength so that my moments of weakness, I have a plan. I am prepared. 2019. This is what Peter is writing in 1 Peter 1, 13 through 21. And this year, we're memorizing 8 verses, okay? So from 27 verses to 8 verses. So if you're sitting there going, wow, I don't know that I can memorize the whole chapter. You don't have to. You get 8 verses, and a 7-year-old did it. I'm just throwing that out there. And it was a friendly competition between her and her brother, too, and the sister won. Just throwing that out there. Ladies, you should be a little more excited about that, but that's cool. That's cool. Peter's writing a group of people who have daily problems, trials. And here's what Peter does say in the very beginning, the first 12 verses. He says, hey, listen, your problems, your trials, they're going to come in all shapes and sizes. Here's what he doesn't say. He doesn't say you will not have problems. At no point does Peter go, welcome to Christian faith, welcome to following Jesus, problem solved. He doesn't say you won't have marriage issues. He doesn't say people are going to start treating you better. He doesn't say you are now employee of the month. He doesn't say you have the boss, best boss ever. He doesn't even say you're the best boss ever. He says you're going to have problems, and they're going to come in all shapes and all sizes, period. Good news. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate that. And he says, listen, not only they're going to come, they're going to come in bunches, and they're going to try to destroy your life. But he says, in the middle of all of it, here's what you can have. You can have joy in the middle of it. You can have joy in the midst of the trials. You can grow in the middle of it. You can grow spiritually in the middle of it, despite what's happening on the outside. You can grow on the inside. He says, you can become a child. You can be spit on, you can be beat up, you can be talked about. He says, listen, in the middle of all of that, you can still grow. You can still have hope. You can still be smiling. You can still be kicking because Jesus did. And you're like, oh, cool, I'm not Jesus. So here's what he says. Nick read the first verse. I'll read 3 after that. So prepare your minds for action. And here's a cuss word for a lot of us if you're 6 days in. And exercise. Oh, self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Here it is. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do. Just as God who chose you is holy, for the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. The NIV says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober. He's saying, first 12 verses, he moves from describing salvation, and then he says, therefore, responding to salvation. And here's what he's saying. Listen, salvation is awesome. Going to heaven, going to be great. It's going to be an incredible party. Move past that. You're still here. You're still doing life. You still got problems. How you respond is important. He puts this responsibility on how we respond from 13 to 21. He says, listen, you're responding as obedient children or as disobedient children. And we've seen both sides, right? We got kids. The more you have, the more opportunities for disobedience. And he says, listen, here's what it comes down to. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober. Here's what he's asking us to do. He's saying, listen, your life has to be a focused life. Your life has to be an intentional life. Your life has to be an alert life. Your life has to be, he even brings in this word sober, because we know what it's like and how we are if we're not sober. We've been around people, maybe some of you yesterday, the night before, whatever. You know what it's like when you're not sober. You're not you. Some of you, you're more fun, but you're not you. You're not you. You're not in the right state of mind. You're not so we understand when he says we need to be sober. What's he saying? You need to be in the right state of mind. You need to be in the right mindset. You need to be alert. You need to be attentive. He's saying you need to be focused, because you're going to be confronted with all these things. And if you're not focused, you're going to fall to an attack and to a battle. So you got to be focused. First Peter says this, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Hebrews 2:1. So we must listen very carefully to the truth that we have heard, or we may drift. Here's what he's saying. He's like, listen, if we're not alert, there's a good chance we're going to slip up. If we're not alert, there's a good chance we're going to trip. If I'm not alert, if I'm blind, if I'm not attentive, there's a good chance. Have you ever been around someone that fell down the stairs? I mean, you laugh now, but it's like, fell up the stairs. All right. What is that? Well, they're just walking and they just missed last step. You weren't attentive. You were not watching and you fell and you probably sprained an ankle, bruised a butt. You did something. What is that? That is you not being attentive. Are you clumsy? Probably. But you're naive and you weren't attentive. Here's what Hebrews is saying. Let us strip off every weight and the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. What's he saying? When we're not attentive, we don't run the race well. When I'm not attentive, when I'm not alert, I'm not running the race. We understand this from a standpoint. Like, listen, I graduated high school as 140 pounds. 140 pounds. I'm about 185, 86, I don't know, somewhere in there. I'll let you know later when my scale comes in. No, literally, today I have a scale that's being delivered. Anyway, side note, we'll talk about that later. So 40, 45, my wife, 48, 50 pounds heavier than I was when I graduated high school. I'm not as fast as I was at 18. Part of it is I'm older, right? Part of it is I've aged. Part of it is that I'm carrying around 50 extra pounds. So I'm not going to run as effectively as I did at 18 because I'm carrying 50 extra pounds. He says, let us strip off every weight. These are good things that we've made God things, and because of that, they're not good. And listen to me. The weight that I'm carrying may be okay weight for you to carry. He says, strip off the weight and the sin. There are things that I'm carrying that I was never intended to carry. And because of that, this thing called life, this race that I'm running is not being effective. And I'm looking around and I'm asking everybody around me, why am I not being effective? It's because I'm carrying things I was never intended to carry and I'm not able to run this race effectively. Because he doesn't say, and run this sprint. He says, run with endurance the race. Listen, this race for some of us is 70, 80 years. Some 15, 20, 30. But you were born, you've paid taxes, you're going to die. Like, geez, that's great news. It's a fact. You're going to die. And the race that you're running, I don't know how long it is. But he says, run it with endurance. And the evaluation should be that we're stripping off every weight. We're taking everything that does not need to be there, the unnecessary things. He's saying, listen, here's what I'm asking you to do. You got to first and foremost, you got to prepare your mind for action and exercise self-control. He doesn't say exercise self-control and then prepare your mind. He says, prepare your mind and then exercise self-control. What's he saying? He's saying there needs to be a moment in your life where every single one of us, on a daily basis, where we calm our minds, where we prepare our minds, where we drown out all the noise, all the devices, all the chatter of the people around us, and we prepare our minds. And we strip away the things that are not necessary, the things that we do not need to survive, the things that are weights that are holding us back. Instead of being people that go, man, my life isn't going the direction I thought it would, we be the people that evaluate and go, my life isn't going the way I should because of this. And because it's this, I need to cut some things out. And you know what that means sometimes? That means sometimes it's people. Are you telling me that I need to avoid certain people? Yes, I am. Because they're negative influences on your life and you need to cut them away. This needs to be a 2019 where people are for you, not against you. This needs to be a 2019 where you gather people when you're running the race and they're your workout partner, they're your person that you've put in during strength and you said to them, I give you permission, this is preparedness. Preparing your mind is giving people permission to speak into your life. And you only do that when you're strong. January 1, you know, we're with friends and we're talking about eating better, eating healthier. And I said to my wife, I need to do that. You know what she did? She went out. She got healthy things. You know what happened last night when I'm wanting to eat ice cream? She said, I got you Jell-O instead. Typically, it would go like this. Shut up, I'm still eating ice cream. But my moment of strength, in my moment of weakness, I did something of strength. I ate the Jell-O, and I ate 10 of them, so... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. Were those sugar-free? Oh, that's why they tasted so bad. You know what, though? I will say this afterwards. I felt better. I keep saying it over and over as if it's true. Oh, man. You have to have someone in your life. This is preparing your mind. You have to have someone in your life that you've given permission to speak into your life so that when you want to give up, or when you go through the trial that you're going through, they can speak honestly into your situation. Like, you have to have that person. I didn't say 10 people. You got to have at least one person that speaks into your life, that tells you no, that says I'm for you and this is why I'm telling you no. And you only do that when you prepare your mind for action. Okay? This is what we're doing. We're preparing our minds for action. Because this is the point. The point that Jesus is making through Peter is that we have to be people that are holy. And you and I don't understand that because we don't use the word holy enough. But holy means different or set apart. That's what it means. It's just being different or set apart. So you might say, well, at work they do this, this, and this. That's great. You're different. Be set apart. Well, at school they say this, this, and this. Yeah, because it's easy to be a chameleon. It's difficult to be different and set apart. You're to be holy as Jesus is holy because that's the call for those who are belonging to Christ Jesus. And I can't just sing about it. I can't just talk about it. I can't just evaluate. I got to live this thing out. And if I'm not willing to live it out, when hard things come and I'm not prepared, I don't have anybody in place, and I'm wondering why everybody around me is failing, guess what? It's because I've not been prepared. And when you're not prepared, whether it's on a sports field or in life, I'm just telling you, when you're not prepared, you know it. You know it. You know why you know it? Because the other team is winning. And in this case of life, it's the enemy. And he is real. He is prowling around looking for someone to devour. And if you've isolated yourself, if you've not put yourself in numbers, you've not put yourself in community, I'm telling you, there's no way you'll make it. And no one loves you enough to tell you that. It's like no one loves the people of Walmart, right? Nobody should be wearing what they wear. You look it up, people of Walmart. Like, nobody has friends. I can't even. Walmart at like 11 o'clock at night, South Carolina, I'm just telling you. Like, somebody get a friend, because a friend would not let you go out looking like that. Anyway. I mean, it might be in Waterloo too, I don't know. I go closest. And Jesus was real clear on this. In Matthew 5, he says, you heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. He's like, listen, you've heard the act. I address the mind, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Here's what he's saying. If you've thought about it, you've already headed down that path. It just hasn't come to fruition yet, but you're thinking about it. And he says, listen, this is Ephesians 5:1. This is him saying, listen, if we're not careful, wrong thinking leads to wrong living. Right thinking lives to right living. How am I preparing my mind for action? And stop making excuses. You and I, we are so good at excuses. Stop it. Stop making excuses. And find someone in your life that will not allow you to make excuses. Second thing that we're to do after preparing our mind is we're to imitate Jesus. You know what this is? This is a trump card that you and I can't combat. Because the trump card is that if I'm imitating Jesus, then I really have no excuse. And so the question should be, am I really trying to follow Jesus? And if I'm trying to follow Jesus, then everything that I say that is of my flesh that I really want to do, like I don't want to forgive her, well, you're not really acting like Jesus. I don't want to love that person, well, you're not really imitating Jesus. But you don't understand my boss. No, I do not understand your boss. But Jesus does. And I'm not asking you to imitate me. I'm asking you to imitate Jesus. And this is what he's saying. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. How do kids learn? How do kids learn? He says, in 1 Peter 1, he says two words, obedient children. You know how your kids are obedient? They watch parents. So like my kid at 8 years old is kicking and screaming and throwing a temper tantrum. At some point he saw a version of that from somebody. Now hopefully it wasn't you doing the exact same thing at home, but he saw a version of that. Why? He's saying, listen, your kids learn from you. Your kids learn from your behaviors. And he's saying, listen, you are to be obedient children. You are to also learn from the Father. We are to imitate what Jesus says. That's why he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. He's saying, listen, the pattern of the world, it will go away, but you are to imitate Jesus. That's what his point is. It's in us to be learning. And then we are to let scriptures come alive in us, in you. This is what he says. I love that. He says, for it is written, verse 16. Or he says, as the scriptures say. Peter is getting to the importance of scripture. Because throughout all of the Bible, the authority of the scriptures are stressed. This is what Psalm 119 says. I have tried my best to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. First and foremost, I hide God's word in my heart, not for the cash prizes that Jody's going to give us. And she will. And you send your video in of you reciting 8 verses. She puts your little name in a hat and your name gets drawn. You win money. What is that? It's a great incentive, right? For some of you, mostly kids and teenagers. What is that? It's an incentive. It's fun. It's competition. It's competing. We get to draw someone's name. You get a gift card. It's fun. No, I've hidden God's word in my heart so that I don't sin against first and foremost God. You know that when I sin, it's not just that I'm sinning against my wife because I'm bitter towards her or my kids because I'm not acting as the father I'm supposed to. First and foremost, I'm sinning against God. Do you know the fear of God is what? The beginning of wisdom. You know the moment that I stop sinning because I'm fearful of who God is, not and fearful of like he's going to send me to hell and damn me there. It's not that I'm scared of that. It's that I don't want to live that way. I want to live in a way that he is pleased and he's honored. That when I get scriptures in, it's not that I'm just getting scriptures into me to get the answers or to know God's will. I'm getting to know him. And that's the point. When I get to know him and I get to know his character and I get to know who he is, I'm not going to read the Bible and it's not going to say, you need to stop eating Applebee's and doing this, this, and this. It's not going to say that. But there's going to be principles in there of how I should live my life. I don't go to it just to get answers. I go to it so that I can understand God's character and God's heartbeat and what he has for my life and that there is purpose for my life and I'm not an accident and I'm not what other people have said about me. I am what he says I am. I read it so that it comes alive so that when, as Andrew said, as I'm tempted and as I'm being stressed out by my job or my family's driving me nuts or I'm having relationship issues that I can find life and life to the fullest. And I'm not just reading it to get through it in a year. I'm reading it so it gets inside of me. Billy Graham says it this way. The Bible is the only thing that can combat the devil. Quote the scripture and the devil will run. See, listen. You've quoted everything else. You've complained enough You've spoken enough. You've tried everything there is. But something happens when first and foremost, you take your situation, your struggle, your problems to a holy God. And you say, God, we need the answer. And he says, I have the answer. And you start reading a passage and you start being consistent, because this is what this is. This is not a fix. This is not a one-hit wonder. This is me being consistent. This is me setting an agenda and setting a tone, getting alone with God, hearing his voice in the midst of all of the chaos. This is me being highly intentional, highly disciplined, highly focused, so that I'm never the same again. And it may not be day 4 or day 8, but you're not doing it so that you can get fixed. You're doing it so that you can know who God is. And by knowing who God is, he changes you. Because he didn't say, be holy because I'm not holy. He said, be holy for I am holy. Listen, this is who we are. Now, we are life because we are being people of self-control. And we're exercising or disciplining our lives by being people of self-control. We are men and women who are doing whatever we can to go after a God who has a plan and a purpose. And this is why we exist. This is why we have identity. This is why we are what we are. And it only happens when we surround ourselves with other people that are for us and other people who have the best interest. Listen, it might be a life group, it might be a support group, it might be whatever. I'm just telling you, let's grow as a community. Because the Bible says in Colossians 2, for he holds the whole body together with his joints and living, and it grows as God nourishes it. God's job is to nourish it. Our job is to get together. And if I'm not getting together and I'm missing out on the nourishing side, we're missing it. We're missing it. Our job is strictly to lay down agendas and pride and get together. That's it. And God says, watch, I'll be able to give you a friendship that you've never had before. I'll be able to give you an accountability you've never known before. I'll be able to give you a community that you've never even dreamed of. All I'm asking you to do is you get together. Show up, be vulnerable, be humble, and watch how God nourishes it. This is the best. That's pressure off me. I don't have to nourish anything. We're just to get together. That's it. That's it. Watch what God does. Watch what God does. Would you stand with me this morning? God, just pray. God, if we're lacking focus today, maybe something has happened to us. Maybe we have a situation that is demanding attention, is demanding our focus. Maybe it's a feeling of being unprepared. Maybe it's a feeling where we have no discipline, no self-control, and things seem to be spiraling out of control by life and situations and decisions. God, I pray today is a day of newness. I pray today is a day where we put a plan together, a plan that is built on your word, is built on 1 Peter 1, it's built on action and not on sitting, it's built on moving forward. God, I pray 2019 is just not a year of transformation. God, I pray it's a year of joy. It's a year of discipline. It's a year where our minds are being renewed. It's a year where our lives are never the same. Even if nothing around us changes, but we change and our heart changes and how we see changes and what we do on the outside changes and how situations and relationships change, all because we've demanded and we've expected a new focus and new eyesight and just a new outcome. God, despite what people have said about us, we know what you say about us. God, that's enough. That's enough. And when the enemy comes to steal our joy, to steal our identity, to cause us to be depressed, God, we know what you've said. You are for us, not against us. What the enemy meant to steal, to harm, you have meant to bring life. God, your word, when you spoke in the beginning, it was that we might be alive, but not just life, but life to the fullest. So God, I pray that today. I pray life to the fullest in Jesus' name. For every person in this room that is down and out and depressed, anxious, insecure, feelings of inadequacy, God, I pray that they would know that they're more than enough, that they're your son and daughter. In the name of Jesus, would you just evaluate this morning? Would you just look within? Would you pray that prayer, search me, O God, and see. Test me. Test me in this. What do I need to get rid of? What do I need to strip away today? What weight? Some of you, let's be honest, it's a job. It's weighing you down. Some of you, it's a relationship. It's weighing you down, and you're not running effectively. Come on, let the Lord speak to you today. Sing this as we evaluate.